Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to AMC Press and Co. We welcome you whether you're on planet Mars. This means aliens can hear us. Brilliant. We wondered where those came from. We were all talking about it in the office. Short notes. Very quickly before we begin, we are an affiliated Blog Talk Radio Network. We would like to express the views and opinions of the hosts are not shared with any affiliates or sponsors. View discretion is advised.
Hello, everyone. It's AMC Press and Co. Oh, and this Allison, along with Johnny, Red Hood is obviously running late again.
As usual.
So, Johnny, please, don't we have some very interesting topics?
Okay, let's see. Welcome to edition 476 of ANC Press and Co., which is entitled
Uber.
I can't talk because it's too hot.
Exceptional
Uber problems
Uber.
For the not so average Joe. On tonight's show, we talk about one Russian lawmaker's claim that Apple's YouTube release is gay propaganda. Still, wasn't that like 4.5 years ago? Then kiddies gather around as we tell a tale about the twice exceptional kid. We also reveal a black person as he deals with racism, which he thinks is fake.
Hint,
check history books and then check your news. And more troubles with Uber as we list what they are not allowed to do with people with disabilities.
For
more info on us, just go over to itsmyurls.com/AMCPress and shop for us on Zazzle. Keyword AMC Press pop-up shop. You can also contact us on Facebook and Twitter. Our handles are AMCPress31 and AMC Press News.
Yes. So...
So
Russia is getting themselves in more problems, which is great, or not.
Or not so great.
Right. It's like, it's the wrong thing to do. So, I guess...
Yeah, YouTube's album release, gay Apple is gay propaganda, Russian lawmaker claims. Like, what?
So, I guess
he says the cover of the album, Song of Innocence, shows two men in a display of non-traditional sexual relations.
Wow. Yeah, no, that's terrible. That's almost like going, song is song. So, I guess, do you know what a song is?
In fact, the cover shows the band's drummer embracing his 18-year-old son, both of them shirtless.
So, it's a cover.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with a shirtless hug between family members.
Right. It's not like it's music.
It's art.
Right.
Some of those in Russia who ridiculed his appeal drew a comparison to the time in 2006 when Putin kissed a small boy's bare stomach.
Ah.
Oh, wait, whoop.
Oh, is Redhead here finally?
Yes, I am here. Where are we?
We're just getting this on the road.
Yeah.
Yes.
We're talking about YouTube's album release. Apparently, is Russian gay propaganda.
And it's 4.5 years ago.
Wait, when did that album come out? Like, what?
Recently.
2013?
Last year?
No, it wasn't last year. There's that whole scandal. It wasn't last year. It's 2013.
You're right, 2014. Yeah. Last year.
No, it was last year because everyone got the album.
Oh, right. Then Russia's a year late.
Right.
Like, what, 8, 7 months late? Like, hey, if I mean, complain because they got a free album, like, really?
Well, they complained because they didn't pay for it, nor was it good music. I mean, there is a discrepancy between really good music, okay? Really, really good music, right? And shit.
And then there's Justin Bieber.
Right, exactly.
All right, which is Canada's problem.
Right.
Which I admit could make it on my playlist, but am I going to be a huge fan? Hell no.
No.
Not exactly. I mean, none of us are huge fans, but why is it hitting a year late with Russia? That's the thing. I mean, and if it's gay propaganda, right, then they must have something against you, too.
Yeah.
You know, for them to, list gay propaganda, you know, unless Putin is saying, I hate you, too. You know, and taking it to a higher level. But in terms, just in terms of the fact that, you know, everybody's going crazy, and at least, if it's gay propaganda, you know, this is a member of the parliament who doesn't know jack shit about music. You know, but yet, Investa, which is a newspaper loyal to the Kremlin, reported Wednesday that a copy of Alexander Soros appealed to prosecutors, in which it says the cover of the album Songs of Vengeance is displaying two gay men in non-traditional sexual relations. And we go, and? I mean, do you have an opinion on this?
I think this is kind of bullshit. Going, it's art, it's music. People, if they have an issue with art, then maybe those who are in office should get schooled and know that not everything, art is art. Just like the art that is in our next subject, in this upcoming.
I mean, is it that they have trouble with the fact that it's two gay men, or two men in general? Because it doesn't say the sex symbols on the cover, you know. And it doesn't, you know, specifically label anything. I mean, that's what I have.
Yeah. Well, like maybe he still hasn't found what he was looking for.
Yeah, or Morrissey's next album. I mean, there is some discrepancy, because they're about a year late, you know. If they've just found this out, then, you know, they're way behind the time.
Does Rush get like an 8-month delay between getting their music?
Probably. Or the fact that they just kind of thought, well, I mean, that or... It is kind of thing where I think it's the kind of thing where if they're behind the times, right, and they're using this gay propaganda, it kind of means that they've been living with tunnel vision for most of the year. Wouldn't you agree, Alice?
Sure. I guess you could say that.
I mean, if one of your friends said, oh, I mean, do you kind of, it's kind of, you know, they're telling the masses, telling the masses that, it's is still last year. When everybody knows it, isn't it? You know. And my trouble is that how, you know, it's freedom of speech at the end of the day. You know?
Right.
It's freedom of speech. You know, Ed Sheeran had an X on his current album. Does that mean that... Does that mean it is like it's freedom of speech. I mean, do you have an opinion on artistic freedom if you do it? I mean, does anybody?
I think art is meant to be interpreted. Art is meant to be interpreted. That's why you make art. That's why you make music. Everyone interprets things differently.
Yeah. Art and... Everybody interprets art differently, but the controversy is, why is it, you know?
So...
You know, why is it being brought up now? That's what I'm confused about. I mean, is the whole gay propaganda thing, you know, just a front?
Censorship.
Well, yeah, if they're going to censor everything, you know, then... if that's Putin's aim, then he's doing a really good job, you know, in taking everybody's liberties away. Which is not good. I mean, it's the same thing with, it's the same thing with considering... You know, it's the same thing with calling kids twice exceptional. You know?
Right.
You're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. You know?
Right.
It was free, number one. Number two. Number three, you know, embracing your stuff, your art is part of being an artist. I don't know of anything else. You know, I'm an artist, and I don't know of anything else if I choose to embrace, you know, if I went naked or had the idea of going naked for a cover, I'm sure, you know, in artistic license in some countries, it would say, oh, yeah, it's propaganda. But... you know, it's not the same thing. You know, if you're, and another thing, if you didn't have pirate radio, which is a whole other conversation, you wouldn't have expressionism.
Right.
You wouldn't.
Right.
I mean, there is a movie called Pirate Radio. Everybody go and see it. It's really good.
Familiar with it.
It's really, really good film. But it traces the pirate radio days of music. And they do say at the end of the film, if you didn't have pirate radio, none of the music companies would exist. Music like the Beatles wouldn't have existed. You know, where you're not allowed to play it because they think it's blasphemous or whatever. Name any controversial artist that wouldn't exist. Do you see what I mean? You know, the only reason why the Kremlin is following suit, or the Nusos are following suit that are loyal to the Kremlin, is because Putin's behind it. That's it. You know, he has a bad history after all.
All right.
You know, but then you go over to the second segment of the night, which is the idea law and the twice exceptional students, right?
Right.
Which basically says that students with disabilities are entitled to special education services even if they are cognitively gifted, which means that since they're twice exceptional in this group of individuals who have disabilities are intellectually gifted, which means that they can do two things at the same time. Right? Am I getting this right?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
And the fact is that 20 years ago, we didn't have these laws growing up.
I know.
You know, so it's a new thing between... Yeah. You know, it only encourages you know, I'm wondering for us, or the people who grew up in that time period without the law, does that include us? You know, who are now adults or in our late or early 20s or in our mid 20s? Does it, you know, does it include that? Or does it include, you know, if anybody chooses to, their kids? You know, the office, but it says, we continue to receive letters from those who work with children with disabilities and high cognition, particularly those with emotional disturbance or mental illness, expressing some concern that school districts are hesitant to conduct initial evaluations to determine the eligibility for special education in relation to services with high cognition. Now, you know, so I'm getting it's a law, but it's also the twice exceptional bit is the mandate.
Right. I think that if that's the case, since that's the case, that means these people who need IEPs should have easier access.
And not us. I mean, if one of us on the program was to go back to school, right? Would we have the same thing as those who are coming up. Probably not. You know. Probably not.
All right.
But then they say that Musgrove instructed the state officials to remind each school district that it's obligation to evaluate all children regardless of cognitive skills.
Right.
Which would lead me to mean, or lead me to think, that the insanity of it would be that you have hundreds and hundreds of kids each state.
Right.
So, what does that mean for those states? Is it every state individually?
Right.
Or is it something else? So, you know, we would have to see. We'll follow this up.
All right.
But then we also go on to something that I was informed of earlier in the day. Alex, do you want to take this?
Oh, you could go ahead. Jump in because we know of art, as you talked about before, being music.
Okay. That apparently a black artist thinks that racism is fake. Or race is fake. And is of the construct in his latest submission, because he's an artist, that the century of advertising teaching white women illustrates his thesis more complexly. Now,
right.
He says that he really doesn't believe in race, it's a fabrication.
Okay.
If it was a fabrication, then why do you have multiple stereotypes every day?
All right, for the
you know, why do you have all this manslaughter and why do you have all this cop killing?
Right, and also the discrimination against people with disabilities or those who, right, who. So there's a lot of things that go on.
Of course there's a lot of things that go on, but do you have to display them in a way that is A, controversial to the point, you know, and B, exploiting everybody's idea of a construct which happens to be true. Okay. you know, this is why you had slaves. This is why you had cops. This is why the law, at least I was told the other day, was that originally you had cops that chased the black slaves, and they were mostly white. And so the African-Americans were not trained, I'm not going to say trained, as a learned behavior to be afraid of people of authority.
Which could lead to...
Which could lead to racism.
Right. Which racism does exist. It just doesn't.
No. Racism does exist.
That's what I'm saying. That not doesn't exist.
Yeah, it doesn't not exist.
Right.
But yet, in the advertising world, you can do whatever you wanted. You know, between 1915 all the way up to 1970, 1980, you know, and even 1990, you know. Another thing would be, you know, look at the TV shows of... On PBS, look at Downton Abbey, look at period pieces, right? There seems to be a dichotomy between the two hierarchies. So they're both separated, you know? I mean, what do you think, Amanda? I mean, oh, sorry.
Why?
Wow.
No.
Allison, sorry. What do you think? What do you think? I mean, do you think this is true?
First of all, Redhead?
Redhead. Why don't you start calling me Bika from now on? What do you think about this? For the advertising, I can see their point, but, you know, in today's society, do we think it's true? Do we think it's true? Yeah. So I guess that's a yes.
I think that whatever is being done, there's a lot that has gone on. You can't deny racism. You can't deny things.
No, you can't deny anything, but you can deny is the fact that when you put on an exhibition, okay, you're going to be judged from any other way possible. Right?
Right.
But this artist said racism is a construct. Well, if racism was a construct, then why did all of the past events, like Martin Luther King, happen? Why did Rosa Parks happen? Why did slavery happen? Why did white oppressionism happen? Afrikaans history, which we know little about in America, which is a wider berth about apartheidism, happened. Why did, why in Why do we have blackface? Why did we, you know, why is it today that, why is it today that cops apparently shoot any, just anybody, anybody who walks? Specifically black people. Now, do you call any of that racism?
I would say there's a lot of racism out there.
Right. Do you call any of that racism?
Yeah.
No. Yes, you do.
Yeah, sorry.
You know. Of course you do. You know, you do.
Sorry. Yes, you do.
Yeah,
Yes, you do.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a construct.
There's a lot of shit that goes on. There's a lot
it's
shit
not
that
a
goes
construct.
On.
It's not a
challenge either, Red Hood.
No. I'm not making it a challenge, Johnson. It's I'm stating facts. That's just personally wrong.
I know, there's a... I get it. I know he's wrong. I'm sure that there's going to be a lot of issues with this. It could attract some very, very interesting people.
I mean, the ad, he's bringing out the ad with Bill Cosby. You know, a deep, dark, delicious secret. Since when is Jell-O deep and dark, first of all? Second of all, you know, since when is it not colorful? And then, the most powerful one from 2014 is a Tylenol ad shot from a lesbian couple embracing an urban skyline as they take a selfie.
Right.
And you call that powerful? I call that 12 steps back.
Yeah.
And 2 steps forward.
Oh, yeah.
12 steps back in terms of the Tylenol and the current, you know, gap, and then 2 steps forward because of the fact that they've just, you know, the gay population basically has had this struggle for eons and eons of years.
Yeah.
You know, and you're bringing out all these things that, you know, Roe versus Wade and Madison Avenue didn't process, that the lives of women, especially white women, tend to have greater privileges. Well, the fact is that everybody today has privileges. You know, it's just coming back with all of this stuff.
Yeah.
Which I don't necessarily agree with. I mean,
neither do I.
So, I mean, I guess what we're saying here is, if you're in, where's exhibit located? If it's located in New York, I might go, because I visit New York often. If it's located in New York, then I will definitely go to this exhibit and fill out a comment card and saying, you stupid, heartless bastard, what the fuck are you thinking? But the exhibit is on, if anybody would like to go. From yes, it is in New York. Until May 23rd at the Jack Schallinger Gallery at 503rd West 20th Street and 524 West 24th Street. And the exhibit is called Unbranded: The Century of White Women. how racist can you get? You know. How racist can you get? It's all we're saying. And then to our last exhibit, article of the night. Or last few. Johnny, do you want to take this one?
Okay, let's do this.
Hmm.
School won't let girl eat Oreos. Hey, the school doesn't let 4-year-old eat Oreos from their own lunchbox. Here. Aha. They should know because they should pack a nutritious lunch that includes fruit, vegetable, and a healthy snack.
Now, isn't that always the byline of all mothers everywhere?
Yeah. I mean,
sources say.
I mean, this.
Yes!
The school said no to the Oreos.
Oh, the school said no.
Schools said no. They don't have a right to dictate what's in their kid's lunchbox. If I ever had a child, some woman said, my teacher took my Oreos because they're not healthy, I would be saying, you're not the parent. And
what?
And it's not, you don't have a say. Your say is,
of course you don't have a say, but then again, the school could choose to interlock spy cameras in your kitchen as your, or your freezer as you're packing the lunches.
Then
they go, Oreos, no, no Oreos, no Oreos, thank you very much, no Oreos. You're not allowed to take Oreos, Oreos, until you take the fucking things out.
If you look, even stuff like you who has funded it now.
You who has what in it?
Has like this. The sweetener Splenda.
Oh, yeah. I mean...
What's
the point? Exactly.
Stop putting with Splenda the non-diet stuff. Hello.
I mean, you know, would you rather give your child... Okay. Here's the dilemma I have. Would you rather... And this is a game of would you rather, okay? Hands up. If you would rather give a kid a Mexican Coke, if you know what that is, versus a normal Coke.
What I give my kid?
Yeah.
Oh, definitely Mexican Coke.
Right, because it has cane sugar.
That stuff is amazing.
Yeah. The Mexican Cokes have cane sugar. Right? My other thing about it is...
American Coke has corn syrup.
Yeah. You know, Mexican Coke has corn syrup and this and that. Okay? That is funny as hell. Because of the fact that you know, it's funny as hell because they're either very progressive or very Quaker. It's like, would you give your kid oatmeal or a sugar cookie? You know, in terms of health, that's the thing. That's what I don't get. is, you know, the regular standard is, oh, the regular standard is basically, the regular standard is basically, we're always raised to, we are always raised to have a healthy diet, right? But then the second you have, you know, Oreos, they go, oh, this is not healthy for you. We'd rather turn you into a rabbit. You know, that is the thing, right? We're always rebelling against we as kids are always rebelling against snack food and junk food. That's the way it's been for thousands and thousands of years. We have never agreed with mom. Or dad, or whoever's packing our lunch. We say, fine, put it in.
Put it in.
You know, it's stupid. I mean, it's, first off, a children's academy. Once they realize they've been being duped, right, they'll go back to Oreos, right? But then, as we told you, or as Johnny told you in the introduction of tonight's episode, you know, the infusion of non-Oreos, I mean, what are you going to do? Just have the chocolate? That's kind of interesting. But then our last article of the night. Disabled riders seek tougher rules for Uber and Lyft. Well, we remember back several months ago now that we reported on two stories about Uber. You know, that basically said, oh, yeah, they're not following the ADA laws. Now, they are trying to come out with a bill or enhance the bill that would accommodate people with wheelchairs and other riders with disabilities. This measurement is to the end a long spire overriding haul about the services that should be regulated with these companies.
Right.
Now, all these systems are hardly paying attention to accessibility. If these companies said, we're not going to pick up men and women or African Americans, all people supporting them would want to be running away, and no one wants a civil rights issue. So when in fact this is what it is? You know,
right.
It's a civil rights issue. Last time we saw Uber, they were taking blind dogs and throwing them in the back without any consent of their owner. Right.
In the trunk,
exactly. You know, if you had a CNI dog, you'd go, oh, wait, I temporarily went blind. It's a bad joke. But, you know, at the same time, you get up on, you know, if you're in New York City and you travel past Fifth Avenue to 96th Street, and you're locked in a car and you're barking, and your dog, then what exactly are you doing? You know? you're breaking laws. But Uber drivers don't care. Uber and Lyft do not offer vans that are wheelchair accessible in the Boston area, and so that many of their drivers can fit small folding wheelchairs. Lyft websites and other companies that offer accessible vans, Uber recently partnered with existing taxi vans with wheelchair lifts under the pilot programs in certain neighborhoods of Chicago, Houston, Philadelphia, Los Angeles, New York City, San Diego, San Francisco, and Washington, D.C. The company officially states that that instructs Uber and its drivers to comply with federal disability requirements and gives them tips on how to accommodate passengers with disabilities. They also said they're exploring on how a wheelchair might fit into a van.
Right.
Now, I mean, the Americans with Disability Act, or ADA, requires that many businesses, including taxi companies, provide equal and reasonable accommodations to disabled customers. However,
right.
You know, the Department of Justice has agreed in a sternly worded filing that the company may not contract away its ADA responsibilities, which means we win. And in the law that applies to private entities that are primarily engaged in transporting services, regardless of whether the company is a public accommodation. Now, that is probably the most awesome thing, because Uber is kind of, for lack of a better word, a great service, but with changes that don't include people with disabilities, that include, it's racist, it's straight up racism.
Right.
You know, how do you feel about this, Allison?
I don't feel good.
What do you No. About the fact that they're changing it. Or that maybe
I'm happy that I think changing is great.
Change is good.
But does that really help those who cannot do? Or may have issues?
No. I mean, it helps them in the regard that they have it helps them in the regard that this law is changing. It does not help them in the fact that when they try to travel independently, be it Uber, Lyft, or other services, that they're not going to be as likely to travel where they want to.
Right.
Especially if they don't, you know, if Uber doesn't adhere to these rules, since
right.
they are independently contracted.
Which
you
means...
know, which is not unlike the, not unlike... It's not unlike the Federal Tax Commission, you know, where it's a union. Uber is
right.
independently contracted, so they feel as if they can do whatever they please, which is now
right.
not the case.
Right.
And so, yeah. It's not
right.
the case, you know.
Yeah.
You know, it's not the case in terms of in terms of the fact that they have a moral responsibility, right? But in the eyes of the law, they have a moral responsibility. So, what I can see happening is the factoid of individuals individuals not complying. Not the group. I can see the group complying. We just have to wait on the individual, and that really does depend on the individual.
Right.
Doesn't it?
Yes.
You know, it's not a thing of it's not a thing, especially in New York City, where it's individual of the person, you know?
Right.
And that's all I have to say on it. Do you have anything to say on it before we close it?
No, I think we're done. That's nice.
We're done for tonight.
The show is just about over.
Yeah, the show. Yeah, God. So I guess very quickly to read the credits. Episode was produced by AMC Press & Co. Our sound was Johnny Duvall. Our driver was Don't Mess With Mama. Our intern is Free the Music. His intern is Joe Swell. And Joe Swell's intern is D-Land. D-Land's intern is D-Law. D-Law's assistant is C. King Blue. And however, our show is produced by speaking into iPhones or any phone. And this concludes our show for tonight. And with that, tune in tomorrow with everything else that's going to go on. And for more satire. I guess more news articles than satire.